You might be surprised how much drama takes place in the dusty world of antiquarian books. In the new book, Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller, Oliver Darkshire takes us on a behind-the-scenes look at the world of rare books. Oliver shares stories of his adventures working in one of the world's oldest bookstores, from the highs of finding a rare and valuable book to the lows of dealing with difficult but colorful customers. Here's Oliver to share five insights from his book.
Hi, I'm Oliver Darkshire, author of Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller, which is about my time as an apprentice to one of the oldest bookstores in existence, Henry Sutherland Limited in London. I've been asked to share with you five key insights from the book. Insight number one. There is always another dungeon. A bookstore like Sutherland's has no end of hidey holes, shadowy corners and dusty cellars in which to dispose of unwanted books and, occasionally, particularly irritating customers. There's no end to them, which sounds like an exaggeration, but reflects the reality of the situation, which is that 7 years down the line, I'm still occasionally asked to fetch something from a cellar I didn't know existed. Sometimes, people are living down there, which is something you learn to take in stride. I mean, is it worrisome? Yes. Do I sometimes fear the shop will come crashing down under the weight of all those accumulated secrets? Also, yes. Is there anything to be done about it? No, I don't suppose there is. The real key insight here is to make sure you don't lose any of the hundreds of miscellaneous keys scattered about the shop. Primarily because marching around the catacombs of London carrying a gigantic set of bolt cutters invites all the wrong kinds of attention. Insight number two. If you love something, let it go. A consequence of having unlimited dungeons is that there are unlimited places for things to go missing. Books go walkabouts. This is just accepted fact. When you first start working in a bookstore, you take this lamentably sort of practical view of things. It can't possibly have vanished into thin air, you say out loud, as if that'll make a shred of difference, because it absolutely has. After a while, when the fires of enthusiasm for bookselling have faded to a sort of maintainable ember, you learn to accept that physical books do have a mind of their own, and they will appear when they feel the time is right. Every year, Sutherland's vainly attempts a stocktake of all the books, more out of a sense of duty than anything else, and every year we find that half of them have discorporated into smoke. This might sound like a tragedy, but they always return, usually several years after it would have been useful to find them, and then a place you search thoroughly several times over. Insight number three. Don't go towards the light. Old books have one true enemy, and that is the sunlight. The vast majority of advice we end up giving to people, when we sell them rare books, is that they should buy some excellent curtains and never open them again. Light and heat will destroy a book much quicker than you'd think, bleaching the covers, making the pages curl, and once it's happened, there's very rarely a way back. You know, thinking about it, that probably explains all the dark, cold cellars. This often leads collectors to keep all their books in boxes, hidden away somewhere cold. This is probably the best move to preserve them, it's true, and they're following our advice. But sometimes I wonder if it means no one is really enjoying them? Is the book still worth anything if it never sees the light of day? Perhaps for something to have meaning, we must accept that it will eventually come to an end. Insight number four. Always keep buckets. It rains a lot in England, but even when it doesn't, everything is always a bit damp under the surface. Old buildings have it the worst, and bookstores generate leaks with a consistency that almost seems vindictive. If sunlight is our number one enemy when it comes to keeping our books from disintegrating, then damp is a close second. Alas, an ill-advised paving feature in the street above the bookstore meant that when it rains, we had to experience a live reenactment of the fall of Atlantis. The time-honored solution to this, because the City of London have no interest in any task so prosaic as fixing their pavements, is buckets. Stacks of buckets, actually, which are placed in a long line whenever it rains to try and catch the worst of it. You have to sort of hop over them to get past, yes. But the alternative is squelching around in wet shoes, because the salary of a bookseller means my boots have almost as many holes as the pavement. Insight number 5. Confusion is the best defense. Rare books are a tricky thing to sell without getting stolen from, because there's so many of them on so many shelves, and one cannot have eyes in the back of one's head. Well, at least not without very expensive surgery. We've tried various methods across the centuries to try and deter the people who wander in looking to make off with precious things. We put in CCTV. We tried putting tags in the books. We hung up pictures of people who'd been seen taking things. Nothing works quite as well, however, as a good old-fashioned lock and key. The canny modern thief takes advantage of easy situations when you're busy or distracted, and so our most reliable defense is in lockable cases and extremely confusing keychains that have a great many redundant keys. The way I see it, if I don't know where anything is or how to get to it, then how will anyone else work it out? And on that note, that's more than enough confusion for one day. I've been Oliver Darkshire, author of Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller, and I hope you enjoy the book. And if you don't, you can always lose it for a few years, and maybe you'll feel differently when it turns up again.
Thank you, Oliver. That was Oliver Darkshire with 5 big ideas from Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller. You might also like our book bite for Portable Magic, A History of Books and Their Readers by Emma Smith. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.